Grizzly One.
Their own organization called the Guardian Angels. You see them with red berets.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
Curtis Sliwa, the Guardian Angels founder and leader.
We've got Curtis Sliwa from WABC Radio.
Curtis Sliwa, legendary New York.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa. What happened today, why, and what's next? Live, local, on it, 77 WABC.
Cash moves everything around me. The money, dollar dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me.
Yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, taking you home again on the drive home at 5. And with the song from Wu-Tang Clan, talking about how cash money rules the world. It certainly has been a part of this mayoral campaign in which Bill de Blasio seeks re-election. He's taking the position that, yeah, he's got friends. And what else are friends for? Pay for play, he says, is of no concern to the average voters of New York City. They're more interested in crime going down, in better schools, in paving the potholes, and in picking up the garbage. But the two candidates who would unseat him, Nicole Malliotakis and Bo Dito, both made that the center point of their press conferences yesterday in the waning days of the campaign. First, Republican conservative candidate Nicole Malliotakis.
Tuesday is a referendum on Bill de Blasio, but Tuesday is also a referendum on corruption in the city of New York.
Is it a referendum on corruption? I don't know. Then there was Bo Dito, who was basically flipping handcuffs around as if he was going to make a citizen's arrest of this mayor for corruption.
I'm a former detective. You know what? I know one thing. See these handcuffs? These handcuffs should be put on our mayor.
On the line now to discuss it is Errol Lewis. He is the voice and the image of New York One in so many ways. And also he writes many columns for New York's hometown newspaper, The Daily News. Thanks for joining us again, Errol, here on The Drive Home at 5.
Glad to be with you, Curtis.
Now, you heard Nicole Malliotakis. She said this election is a referendum on corruption. But is it, Errol?
No, not really. Unfortunately for Nicole Malliotakis, it's a referendum on everything related to the mayor, not just the allegations of corruption, not just the pay-to-play situations that have been alleged and that, frankly, have a little bit of weight behind them. There's a lot to being mayor, and it's more than just walking a particular ethical line. It also involves running the police department, running the school system, fighting for different political causes. And so let's give the voters credit for not being single-issue voters. There are a lot of things that are going into tomorrow's vote, and some the mayor looks pretty good on, and there are a few, notably those ethical issues that Malliotakis has been emphasizing, where he looks absolutely terrible. So everybody's got to figure out whether one particular issue is a deal killer or whether you like the whole package.
Yeah, but Errol Lewis, the mayor himself, has stood not only in the debates that you hosted, but in other public forums and has publicly said, hey, the people don't care about pay for play. They don't care about what you're writing about, Errol, in the Daily News or what you're commenting about at New York One or any of your colleagues in any of the media outlets. Is that true? Do you get a sense as you move about this city?
It's the worst kind of cop-out, because the mayor could say that about, 20 different issues where we know it doesn't even matter. Like, if you ask the average New Yorker, are you concerned about getting clean water out of your tap tomorrow? Most people, it's not going to be in their top concerns, but let it not happen, and it will go right to the top of their concern. So when the mayor says that, what I hear him saying is, please, let's change the topic. Let's just change the subject. If we were doing this, if we were running the city as a popularity contest, we'd close all the schools and serve ice cream every day, right? I mean, that's not really the right criteria. And likewise, on these ethical issues, people are not supposed to break the law. People are not supposed to curry favor by cutting private deals with top officials. The mayor knows that very well. And he doesn't need to be asked about that in a town hall meeting for that to matter or for him to do the right thing.
Now, Errol, what do you think accounts for the tremendous apathy and indifference that a lot of the voters have to coming out and voting in the general election? In fact, there may be less voters coming out this time than when de Blasio was elected the first time in opposition to Joe Loden.
Yeah, you know, we've been playing that game a little bit. What's the turnout going to look like? It could end up in the low 20% range, which is not great. You could flip a coin, you know, half of it could be because people are disaffected. The other half that we should at least be open to is the idea that people pretty much like the way things are going, are satisfied that their vote isn't going to make a difference one way or another, and have just chosen to do something different or better with their time tomorrow. I mean, my feeling is if people feel like it doesn't make sense for them to vote, I don't want to force them into the voting booth, at gunpoint, so to speak, and ask them to make choices if they haven't studied the issues, looked at the candidates, made up their mind about who stands for what and what they want to support. That's when things start to get really random, where you have folks voting for somebody based on the spelling of their name or the color of their tie.
All right, and then three very important initiative and referendums on the ballot for voters to consider on Tuesday. The main one being a call for a constitutional convention. That would be a yes vote, and no vote is the deep six, that idea. You've written columns on this. What is your opinion about the need for a New York State constitutional convention?
Yeah, it's funny. I think it's so obvious. I've been tweeting about this all day, off and on, even though I should probably leave it alone and do my work. But the reality is, I think it's obvious that there should be a constitutional convention. We have a constitution that is something like 70% longer than the federal constitution. It's twice as long as the average state constitution. It has nonsensical provisions in it. So just at a technical level, we should probably clean up some of this stuff. We have provisions saying, gambling is outlawed, even though the state itself runs a lottery, and you've got endless numbers of, gambling and bingo parlors all over the state. The other part of it, of course, is that we need to reform the voting system. We have a system that is designed to and often succeeds at keeping people from voting. These are constitutional provisions. They need to get fixed. They should have been fixed a long time ago. The fact that we don't have early voting, the fact that you can't change parties unless you do so before the prior general election, meaning like a year prior, you have to decide if you want to change parties for no reason whatsoever. We need to do it. The convention is the constitutionally prescribed method for doing it, and taking the opportunity to do so is required. We have to decide every 20 years whether we want to at least try. And this would just start a process that would last several years. So I say, let's start the process. I'm going to vote yes.
All right. But the unions are telling their members vote no. They're telling their members that if you vote yes for a constitutional convention, they're going to wipe out your pension. Any truth to that that campaign?
No truth at all. I mean, or if there is any truth to it, nobody has identified any force on the political horizon that is making even tentative plans to enact such a provision. Because as you know, Curtis, having the convention is step one. Step two is you elect people to the convention. Step three is they actually fight over and come up with different proposals. And then step four is it goes back to the voters to say yes or no. Now, anybody who thinks – no Republican has won a statewide vote in this state since 2002. So if people think somehow all of the voters in New York are going to go to the polls and get tricked into voting away basic union protections, I don't know what state they're living in. I mean, it's scaremongering. It's really, so the unions do pretty well in the status quo. And I guess what they're doing is trying to preserve that status quo. It seemed to be working out for them.
Do appreciate that. That's Errol Lewis. He is the face and the voice of New York One and writes a regular column in the New York Daily News.
Deep connections, deep understanding.
I admire Curtis Sliwa, and I think that he takes his life into his own hands doing what he does.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
He's a man of the people.
77 WABC.
I'll be the right.
Yes. 523, as yours truly, Curtis Sliwa, takes you home on the Drive, home at 5. And I want you to remember, New York State voters, yes, yes, yes. You heard what Errol Lewis said in the prior interview. He said, vote yes on the Constitutional Convention tomorrow, Tuesday, November 7th. It is the ballot proposition number one. And there has been a series of negative responses to that by the Vote No people. And let me just give you an idea of some of those who are behind it, like the UFT, Union of Failed Teachers, which claims it's a member of New Yorkers Against Corruption. What an oxymoron. If you're not going to vote yes for a constitutional convention, then you want to maintain the status quo of corruption that right now has made New York State the most corrupt station in the nation, even more corrupt than the soprano state, New Jersey. But let's hear from some of those who have been espousing on our own airwaves here at WABC that you should be voting no on the ballot proposition number one for a constitutional convention instead of what Errol Lewis told you. And I'm telling you to vote yes.
We've got strong protections in our Constitution for labor rights, for collective bargaining, for pensions of workers. I think the billionaire class would like to see all of that destroyed. So we're urging people to vote no.
How specious. When you look at the fundraising that has been done by the Vote No people, they have an advantage 10 to 1. 10 to 1 in terms of dollars raised. Where are these billionaires? Where are the Soroses? Where are the Koch brothers? Where are those who are going to try to influence this vote? Well, they haven't shown up for the yes vote, that's for sure. So you're wrong on that count. Let's go to someone else.
The reality is there are many things in the New York Constitution which are good and work. The things that people say need to get fixed should be fixed, but they should be fixed legislatively. I have a bunch of fixes, and if they require constitutional amendments, we should do them individually.
Constitutional amendments, do them individually. Are you kidding? New York State is dominated by three men in a room. You have Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, the governor. Then you have Carl Hastie, the assembly speaker, who replaced Meyer Lansky, no make that Hyman Roth, no make that Sheldon Silver. And then you have the drunk from Long Island, who replaced Dean the Greek Skelos and his deadbeat son, Adam. Yeah, yeah. He's too busy sitting up at the bar knocking back the Irish car bombs there, the state senator from out in Long Island. So three guys in a room, they determine everything that gets voted on the floor, the state senate and the state assembly. You as an individual member, whether you're in the majority or you're in the minority, you have absolutely jack diddly squat no say in what legislation gets voted on and then gets passed over to the governor's desk for his signature. And then, speaking of the crook of all crooks, the capo di tutti of corrupt politicians, Carl Hastie weighed in on this, speaker of the Democratic-controlled assembly.
No,
yes.
Yes, yes.
People aren't happy with what the legislature's done. They could always take the opportunity and vote us out. And so we are accountable to people, whether we do constitutional amendments or not. And I'd like to remind people that in the last 20 years, we've put more than 20 constitutional amendments on the ballot.
Oh, just vote them out. Vote out the corrupt ones. Well, anyway, the election laws are so arcane, they need to be changed so that incumbents don't just keep getting reelected and insurgents have a chance. And by the way, the quickest way to get rid of a corrupt incumbent is through term limits. The president of the United States is term limited to 2 terms. And yet, in the state legislature in Albany, in the assembly and state senate, and from the governor to the state controller to the state attorney general, none of them are 4 term limits. They want to keep the status quo. They want to keep that in perpetuity. And then remember, there's Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I. Remember how he had the Moreland Commission that was going to crack down on corruption? And then all of a sudden, when the Progresso breadcrumbs were being laid out in the direction of his own governor's office, it was a slam jam. Thank you, ma'am. He ended the Moreland Commission investigation into corruption. In early January, 9 of Cuomo's cronies are up on serious federal charges of shakedowns and extortion as part of the failed Buffalo Billion Cuomo project. That's being led. The number one person being prosecuted is the wartime consigliere of Andrew Cuomo. That's Pococo. Bococo, who it was stated was closer to Mario Cuomo than his sons. That's right. Closer than Andrew or Chris Cuomo was to Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo. And Bococo knows where all of Andrew Cuomo's bones are buried and who buried them. But it's not just Bococo up on charges. It's eight other Cuomo cronies. And they've ripped off hundreds of thousands of dollars. So how are you going to give a colonic to this corrupt political system, the most corrupt in the nation, New York State, unless we have a constitutional convention? And then there's the Nebuchadnezzar. Schlubby one. Oh, he was chosen by Shelley Silver, the crook, years ago to replace the crook of all crooks, Alan Hevesy. Remember the state controller, Alan Hevesy from Queens? Remember how he steered the billions of dollars in state pension dollars into Wall Street firms for kickbacks? He went to jail for that. You would have thought he had to run that by a board, right? No. The state controller has no board whatsoever to answer to. They answer only to themselves. You would have thought that the state legislature would have said, we can't allow this to happen again. We can't allow one man or one woman just to take care of their friends on Wall Street by steering the billions of dollars in state pension investments to Wall Street firms that are going to give them kickbacks. Now, do you think Tom DiNapoli wants that formula change? Of course not. Because he is a Mashad, he is a Mameluke. He wants to keep the status quo. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are for term limits, if you want to give a badly needed colonic to the most corrupt state legislature and state government in the country now, New York State, then you have to go to the polls tomorrow when you're voting. You first must turn the ballot over, because the people who want you to vote no, they made sure that the ballot initiative was on the back, making it more difficult for people to vote. You turn over your ballot after you elect your candidates for the other statewide or the city offices, depending on where you are regionally, and then you vote yes on Proposition 1. Yes for a constitutional state convention. Yes to end corruption in New York State. Yes for term limits. Yes for initiative and referendums. And yes to make sure that we have a state in which people, insurgents who want to run for office are going to be unfettered and have an equal opportunity at challenging the incumbents and get elected into office. So vote yes on the Constitutional Convention proposition, ballot number one on your ballot tomorrow on the back of your paper ballot.
Curtis Sliwa, the deepest knowledge of the city.
He'll be the next mayor of the city of New York.
The Drive at 5, 77 WABC.
On 38, and as mentioned in the election night promo, we will be focused tomorrow on the election results coming in from south of the Hudson River in Jersey, on the gubernatorial battle between the Democrat Murphy and Guadagno, the lieutenant governor. On the line to discuss that now is Charlie Style of The Record. Thanks for joining us again on the Drive Home at 5, Charles.
My pleasure, Curtis.
All right, first question, I'm going to play a cut of the Lieutenant Governor Guadagno, insisting that she's her own person in this campaign. Listen to what she had to say.
I'm running on my record, job creation, my values, and my own principles.
Now, Charles, is she yet able to escape the enormous shadow that Chris Christie has left over the governorship in such a negative way in terms of her own campaign?
No. She hasn't done that, and she hasn't, partly because Phil Murphy, with his ad bombardment, hasn't allowed her to crawl out from under that shadow. But on the other hand, she hasn't really made a compelling case why, or a compelling case for her own record. So the answer to that is an unqualified no.
Now, Charles, I look at the state's unfunded pension obligation that many have described as an economic time bomb waiting to go off. I listened intently in some of the debates as Murphy was asked the question, what would you do? Guadagno was asked what you would do. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I know they both promised to fully meet the pension obligations, but they never explained how they would do it.
Right. Murphy has basically made the case that we're going to, well, Murphy's given, sketched out some ideas where, you know, we're going to, for example, we're not going to rely on Wall Street hedge fund fees. We're going to take some of that money and put it back into the system and manage it ourselves or through a state bank. I mean, he's, you know, he's planning to raise taxes on millionaires, and he's anticipating a modest economic growth of 3.4%. But none of that money is going to be sufficient, especially when you add up all his other promises that he's made to fully fund the school formula. He's also talked about revitalizing New Jersey Transit. I mean, he's got a laundry list that's, you know, a block long, and the way to pay for all that is like, you know, a quarter of a block long, if you want to put together your own graphic on it.
Well, one thing I noticed, Charles, is where there is a clear division. Murphy does say, hey, I can raise for the state of New Jersey $300 million if we just legalize the recreational use of marijuana and make medical marijuana more available to many more patients around the state. Clearly, Guadagno is not in favor of legalization of recreational marijuana.
Right.
So that's a real clear division between them.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, he is, that is a cornerstone of his whole financial plan and forecast for the state is that marijuana tax. And the problem with that is that once, I don't think they're going to realistically have that implemented for maybe a year, 18 months. And it's a big question mark as to whether or not that's really going to generate that kind of revenue. Some people also argue, however, that if New Jersey is first out of the gate to legalize, then it becomes a hub for the Northeast, and maybe the $300 million is a low projection.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Whenever you talk New Jersey politics, whether it's a year in which there's a tremendous turnout or what's expected to be a small turnout tomorrow in the gubernatorial race and the state legislative races, what are you going to do about property taxes? I've heard both of them go on and on, both Murphy the Democrat, Guadagno the Republican, and they all promise to lower property taxes. And I say to myself, how the hell are you going to do it when you're promising all these other things? Where are you going to get the money from? Am I wrong about that?
Well, absolutely. I mean, no, you're not wrong. I mean, Murphy, frankly, has danced around the issue by simply saying, well, if we fully fund the school formula to the levels that it was supposed to be funded to, then that will, in effect, help take the pressure off towns to raise their property taxes, because school budgets make up about 60-65% of the property tax bill. So that's a kind of a macro kind of excuse to just not answer the question, because that's really not a plan. And her plan is so cockamamie, it's hard to really understand. It's like this circuit breaker where she's going to stop paying, allow people to stop or give people a credit for their property, their school portion of their property taxes over $5,000. Which could lead to a potential $3,000 credit to people. But how she's going to pay for it, the estimate on that is like $1.5 billion. And her big explanation, well, we're going to audit state government, which anytime you hear any politician say we're going to audit state government for savings, you can pretty much tune that out.
And then the last issue that has come to prominence, at least in the last month, is Murphy seems to sound a lot like the mayor here in New York when it comes to declaring New Jersey to be a sanctuary city for illegals. He's gone on record as saying that. Guadagno sounds more like Trump. No, we're not going to allow that to happen. Do you get a sense that that's having any impact on the voters, that issue?
That's a hard one. I know some Democrats are a little nervous about how far left Murphy went on that issue. I mean, it's one thing to say, you know, to pledge a kind of solidarity with sanctuary cities, but he went ahead and said, oh, we're going to make New Jersey a sanctuary state. And I think that raised a lot of eyebrow. So I think there's some liberals in or Democrats in New Jersey that are a little concerned that that may have gone a little too far, especially since that issue is playing out to the benefit of the Republican candidate in the Virginia race, which is the only other gubernatorial race happening nationally. And that sanctuary issue, that that sort of divisive immigrant issue, is working on behalf of Ed Gillespie, the Republican candidate in Virginia. So I guess there's some people that are nervous that that might have gone a little too far. But the numbers for Murphy are really stacking up in his favor. I mean, he has room, frankly, to make some unforced errors.
And then finally, consolidation in order to provide more services on a county level, take those responsibilities away from towns, from boroughs, from villages. Yeah. It seems that Guadagno is a staunchly in favor of that. I noticed that Murphy was talking about creating some kind of czar to oversee that. Is that just political mumbo-jumbo, or are they really passionate on an issue that has been talked about now for years in Jersey?
It's mumbo-jumbo. There's never been any clear analysis to show that that saves money. And it's just a good talking point because it seems to make sense when you say it. Why do we have 566 municipalities and all these duplicate police departments? But the political lift to get two towns of equal size, neighbor towns, to merge on anything is very, very tough because each town has developed its own culture and its political infrastructure. So it's not something that is a realistic plan to save money. You know, I live down towards Princeton, the town of Princeton. They're the last consolidation that's happened in this state. And that happened only because 85% of the town was consolidated anyway. So take two towns where there's very little shared services. It's just not a realistic plan. It's just a soundbite.
Do appreciate that. That's Charles Style. He's columnist for The Record. In advance of tomorrow's election throughout New Jersey, not only for the governorship and lieutenant governor spot, but obviously for all the state legislative positions. So don't be apathetic. Don't be indifferent. Scrape those barnacles off your backside, get your rear in gear, get you, your neighbors, your friends, get them out to vote.
The Drive at 5 with Curtis Sliwa.
Guardian Angel found a Curtis Sliwa.
Really trying to help our cause.
WABCRadio.com.
Democracy. Going out and actually voting. So important to our electoral process. And there are two particular races that I want to speak to you about in reference to tomorrow. We haven't spent much time talking about Jersey races because I'm the New York State Reform Party chairman, and I've been obsessed with races from Buffalo to Brooklyn here. I apologize for that. But I want you to look across the Hudson to the towns in Bergen County. Remember when Stallone made that movie Copland about all the corruption involving the politicians and the cops there? That's what my friend Mario Kranjak has been dealing with, who is the mayor in Englewood Cliffs. And he's been sued by the old machine 10 times in the last 2 years as they try to throw him off the path of fighting corruption in Englewood Cliffs. So that's why, if you can assist Mario Kranjak, please do. And tomorrow elect Sanket Shah and Carolina Calderon to the Englewood Cliffs Council. So at least he'll have a little breathing room and tactical air support as he continues to give a badly needed colonic to the corrupt political system there. Mario has taken a licking and his comeback ticking. And then there is Brooklyn. And there's a special place in candidate hell for this guy named Steve Saperstein. I had given him the endorsement along with our state executive committee of the New York State Reform Party against Chaim Deutsch, who is the incumbent in the 48th Councilmanic District in Brooklyn. That encompasses Brighton Beach, Midwood, Sheepshead Bay, Manhattan Beach, Trump Village, Luna Park. So there are lots of Orthodox, Hasidim, Russian Americans, and others who live there. And a lot of them vote. And I said, well, we'll go with Steve because Steve Saperstein told us everything that he thought that we wanted to hear. He was going to be a reformer. He was going to be a corruption fighter. And he had the Republican and conservative lines also. So that wasn't a problem. And then he decided that he would be the Maytag to a guy named Jerry Kasar, who is the conservative party leader in Brooklyn. And he would follow that corrupt path of the conservative party. And when you agree to run on the Reform Party line, you agree if you lose your primary, if you're running on another party line, let's say Republican or Democratic line, that you're going to run in the general election. And that's what our candidate in Bay Ridge, Bob Capano, said. He lost the Republican primary, and he has run a great campaign on the Reform Party line. In fact, if you're in Bay Ridge, Diker Heights, you want to vote for Bob Capano tomorrow. But this has never happened before, where a chairman of a party has told you, vote against our chosen one. Vote against that ultraditor, Steve Saperstein. I'm calling on all of you from Hatzola, Shamrim, the Bubba sect, the Bell sect, the Vishnitz sect, the Popper sect. You know me for years. Vote for Heim Deutsch. Send a message to that Judas, Steve Saperstein.